You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impetuous, my defense is impregnable.
Come again
with Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up? What is happening? It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Chris Welch, aka The Welch. If you want, you can call me The, but don't be afraid to call me Welch. That is Scott Bogman, the arch nemesis of Swamp Thing. Chris Pavona, super producer, in the house. We have got a packed show, Mr. Scott Bogman. Chris Harris from Harris Football is going to be joining us.
No big deal.
Get so excited, no Bogman. Deal. You get all cracky when you get excited.
I'm away from the microphone. I am just excited. I'm very excited about this.
Okay.
Yeah, don't We're going to have a great
it's
time.
About it. Stop it. It's creepy. Chris Harris is coming on in the next two segments. It's a good reference. We're going to actually talk about some movies just like that. Chris Harris from Harris Football, formerly of ESPN, going to be joining us for a couple segments. Joe Pizzapia is going to be dialing in right after him, actually. So we got Pizzapia and Harris in hour one. Hour two, Sammy Reed in the house from the Fantasy Insiders and the Baseball Holics Anonymous podcast. Yeah. Talk a little bit of baseball, a little bit of football. But the big thing is, Bogman, this is Sleeper Week. Hashtag Sleeper Week. What do you think about that?
It coincides with Shark Week, which is amazing.
So is one of us going to be one of us will be like side by side with a digital shark? And here I can tell you this right now:
people are pissed.
Yeah, people are really pissed.
They are not excited.
You and I would both
not racing a shark.
You and I would both be eaten by a shark 100% if we were in the water within 3 seconds.
Well, whoever's the fastest swimmer wouldn't be. So that's
okay, so I
it's
would
like
win.
That.
So
it's speaking of underrated movies, yeah, right. Speaking of underrated movies, you know, without a paddle, it's like, why are you taking off your shoes? You can't outrun a bear. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you.
Exactly.
That's
right,
how it goes.
What we've got going on, it's Sleeper Week. So if you want to tweet at us, at Is It The Welch, at Bogman Sports, you can also tweet at FNTSY Radio, hashtag Sleeper Week. I got a question for you. What is your sleeper for the 2017 fantasy football season? We're going to put that question out on the FNTSY radio handle and reply back. Give us who the guy is, maybe a little bit of a blurb. We will talk about it on this episode. You can become famous. All you got to do is interact with us. You can be super, super famous. And I want to talk about the term sleeper because that's a really difficult thing. And Bogman and I, we struggle with that a lot. And I think people like what we're doing in our industry is, you know, you got guys that we hear all these players all the time, and then you have the casual fans that aren't hearing that. So the term sleeper is not a universal term, and we're going to ask Chris Harris about that. In 10 seconds, what does sleeper mean to you, Bogman?
Sleeper means that someone that no one is talking about, like absolutely no one. It's not kind of, maybe. It's nobody's talking about this dude, and he comes out of nowhere.
I see, and that's right there. That is where the identifier is different for me. Because sometimes I look at sleeper and I say, well, this is a player that can destroy their ADP or their pre-draft rank. You know, if a player can be drafted in the sixth and return first round value, there's a sleeper to it. So we're going to cover that and more. Chris Harris coming up on the other side of this break. It's Bogman the Welch for In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Get at us.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
That is right. We are back. It is In This League. I am Chris Wells. That is Scott Bogman. And we are joined by a dear friend of ours who we have had the luxury and the pleasure of speaking with many times over the years on our ITL Fantasy Football podcast. And I know you've heard of him. You have to have heard of him. I almost have to take issue with the nickname he's given his show now because he's kind of a conglomerate. He's kind of the big dog. But he is the host of Harris Football, which you can find online, author of War on Sound, and more, even maybe more importantly, the author of the soon-to-be-released Player Profile Almanac for 2017. He is Chris Harris. Mr. Harris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on, guys?
We miss you. I mean, I haven't talked to you in a while. I know you talked to Bogman for a couple episodes here. So how are you doing?
Well, he prefers me, clearly.
Yeah, I know. You probably do prefer him, even though we share the name. Like, how are you doing in all the craziness of the offseason and putting together the very robust Player Profile Almanac that people can check out over at harrisfootball.com?
Yeah, I'm close, so close. Comes out August 1st. It's a PDF, right? Baby. So it's updated. Like, I literally just had to do a bunch of stuff for Kenneth Dixon. You know, I got to take him out and change a lot of profiles. And the idea is basically, since I watch all the film on all the games and I spent the summer watching a lot more film, I'm giving film grades. So every player has A through F, you know, on four or five different dimensions. And so welcome to the party, Shane Vereen. I had to take out Kenneth Dixon, and who got bumped up to number 80 in my standard running back rank, so I had to write him a profile. Welcome, Shane Vereen.
Did you get all your Cardale Jones video watched?
Yeah, I was about to say, get your Joe Flacco ready, too, with the Joe Flacco news. I don't know how much that'll affect you, so you'll have to get into that. You know, Chris Harris is, if you haven't listened before, you know, to the podcast, which is just absurd if you haven't, Chris is one of the best in the industry. Also, you know, a really great extra thing that Chris is able to do is do some really, really intense looking into video of the players. And, you know, we'll have a topic we'll get with the sleeper element of here, but you very much sit in your world of things, so you're not distracted by a lot of the outside things. But I do have to ask you, when is it going to be called, like, the bullet train that plowed everybody over and not the little podcast that could? Because you're kind of a big deal now, Chris. I think we need to have that title, not you, because you're kind of the big dog.
Thank you for saying that. It's really big now. And the little podcast that could is something that just came out of my mouth the very first episode I did 2 years ago. I just was like, I was with ESPN for 8 years. I had a podcast there that wasn't every day, but, you know, people liked it, and I wasn't starting from ground zero, but I didn't really know whether anybody would come along to an independent little thing. Like, I didn't expect to do a show and didn't think it would be a big deal. So just that very first day, as I was talking, I just say things. I don't know. I half the time I know what I'm going to say, and I just said, welcome to the little podcast that could, and it stuck, and a listener drew a picture of my face in the front of a train.
You're like Thomas the Train. I like it.
Yeah,
I love how he gets that. All I get is Mick Foley comparisons.
Yeah, so. People Photoshop Bogman's face on fat people. That's all that really happens. So we got a lot to cover here. This is Sleeper Week on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and it's loaded. It's a loaded question. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the terminology of it, but maybe in 30 seconds. What is your, and I know you're probably not a huge fan of sleepers, I'm not necessarily, nor is Bogman, but the term is widespread and it relates with a lot of people. But in maybe 30 seconds, because I want to actually cover players, what does sleeper mean to you when you hear that term?
I mean value. You're just basically looking for a player that you value more than the market values. And yes. I'm useless in that regard at the moment because I'm so buried in my own almanac and trying to really keep my opinion my own and not get swayed by what people are saying about players. Like, I come on your show and Bogman's like, hey, everybody hates Larry Fitzgerald. And I'm like, they do? Oh, okay. I'm really on Larry Fitzgerald. It comes down to, I mean, everybody's draftable at the right price. I don't like LeGarrette Blount as a player at all, and I thought I was really low on him last year, and then it turned out I was higher than everybody, so I drafted him in every league. And as it turned out, that was a good thing, but, you know, I wouldn't have ever said he was a sleeper because I didn't think I liked him, but I guess it's just relative to the market, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right about that. And I'm very, very big on that as well. Value is a big way that I treat drafting. And that is kind of how, and that's actually as we went to, we were getting out of the last segment coming in, that was kind of my view on sleepers. So what we're going to do here, because you don't identify necessarily as sleepers, we are going to, it's almost like we're going to play sleeper alert. We've got a question in each category that we're going to kind of throw on, and we're not necessarily, throwing them as sleepers that you're calling them, but it's maybe Bogman mm-hmm. and I that are maybe associating to say, hey, according to Chris Harris and the industry, this might be some of that terminology. So I'm going to start us off here, and I want to talk about quarterbacks. And this is the one that we don't have a player that we're going to push forward on you or talk about a specific player. I just want to ask you, because quarterback is really interesting this year. Next week, we have our quarterback ranks episodes that are coming out, 5 straight podcasts on the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast. And in the quarterbacks, after 12, there's still this big tier of quarterbacks to be owned. So I ask you, which post-12, top 12 quarterback in your eyes, so you can look at your own ranks, that you watched on tape, or you just say, like, as you've worked through the rank process, has jumped out to you as someone that you might be even potentially a little bit more aggressive on? I mean, maybe it's 13 or 14 on your list, but maybe your favorite post-12 quarterback at this point.
I mean, again, it's so tough to say. Like, my favorite post-12 quarterback is going to be 13, because that's why I ranked there.
Well, who's that guy?
So 13, I think I have Rivers. Yeah, I think Rivers is 13. But I think, from having been on other people's shows and having talked to people and stuff, having guests on my show, like, I think I'm higher on Matthew Stafford than some folks. Like, he's well inside my top 12.
Yes.
He's 9, I think, on my list, and I feel great. If I wanted to put Stafford every time, that's fine. I call him Stat Padford. There's a reason for that. You know, he had more attempts that went behind the line of scrimmage than any quarterback in the league last year. He had, I think, the second or maybe the third lowest average yards at the target. You know, that's a horizontal offense, and it basically treats the short passing game as an extension of the running game, or at least it has for the past year and a half to 2 years. And you know what? I'm cool with that. I mean, give me 4,300 yards, 25 touchdowns, and probably not as many interceptions as Padford used to throw. I think he had 10 last year. I certainly am cool. I mean, quarterback in standard leagues where you're only playing one quarterback, I just don't care.
Just wait.
Give me whoever you want. I'm taking him 8th. I'm taking him 9th. I'm taking him 12th. Whatever. You know, I'm going to get around to picking a quarterback at some point because there's, you know, give me 80% of Aaron Rodgers, and there are probably 10 guys who can do that.
What about at running back? You talked about in one of your most recent podcasts how you watched the film on Ty Montgomery, and he kind of stood out for you. We were looking at a couple stats, and we saw that I think it was last round on Pro Football put out a stat that he averaged 0.8 yards per carry against base defense, but he was much, much better against light defensive fronts. Is that something you noticed? Does that stand out to you, or is it just the way he runs and how much better he was than you maybe thought he was in the offseason?
I hear that stat, the base defense thing, bandied about a little more lately, and I mean, I don't understand what people think the base defense is in the NFL. I mean, 2/3 of the time in the NFL, you have 5 defensive backs on the field. So, like, if he's good against that, okay, we're good. Like, let's roll. I'm not ready to say Montgomery's great, but he had a pretty good December and actually kind of a really good playoff. And, you know, I think it's funny that we're now saying, well, maybe the big back, Jamal Williams, will steal some touchdowns when Montgomery's actually a little bit bigger than Jamal Williams, the rookie.
I saw somebody put out a tweet that they were really felt really upset that Ty Montgomery, people were saying, couldn't do the workload. And they compared, like, Zeke Elliott, 6 foot 225. Ty Montgomery, 6 foot 223.
Right, I don't know. I don't think he's really 223, though. I think he's probably 6 foot 216, something like that. He's skinny. He's thick. He's a strong kid. I think if you have a doubt about whether he can handle the workload, it's really about running style, because he's really upright. And seeing, you know, Denard Robinson's a littler guy, clearly, but seeing Denard Robinson in an NFL uniform, you're like, oh my God, dude, you're going to die. Like, you're way too upright. There's way too many square shots. And Ty Montgomery's weakness is that when he got hit, when he got a square shot in December last year, he went down. There's not a lot of, like, I'm going to power through, and that's not about strength. That's about, like, body position when you're getting hit. But there's obvious appeal in terms of receiving. He's converted receiver. It should be a great offense for that. I'm not sure he's the goal line back. I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers will have a goal line back. I left that film thinking, okay, you know what? In this world where just please be on the field for 35 or 40 snaps a game, I think Ty Montgomery is talented enough to be that player, even if other running backs are playing at the same time.
Yeah, it's all great points. And I mean, you know, you aren't going to identify him as a sleeper, but you know, if you look at the industry standard and when you kind of get through it, you have him at 17 on your PPR rankings, which people can check over at harrisfootball.com. People might look at that and say, oh, hey, everyone else has spent a lot of time crapping on him, but Chris isn't. So maybe there's more to look at, and you do that when you're looking at tape. So we have got a whole bunch more as we're going to come on the other side of the break. More sleeper talk with Chris Harris from Harris Football. We got some wide receivers, tight ends, and more. So stick around. More coming up.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turn fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Off guard. That's a good one. All right, welcome back. It is In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. If you're enjoying Sleeper Week on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, make sure you are subscribed to our ITL Fantasy Football podcast, as next week we have an episode every single day as we tackle ranks. We even have one of our live mock draft episodes, so you just search ITL Fantasy Football. While you're at it, make sure you also have searched and are already subscribed to the Harris Football Podcast, as Chris is going to be going to five episodes, one every single day, starting next week. And make sure you're checking out the website so you can be on the lookout for that Player Profile Almanac, which is August 1st. Are you ramped up for the episode every single day next week, Chris?
You know, I'm looking forward to it because it means football is getting closer. August is funny, though, because, I mean, I'm going to do 20 shows in August, and I'm not 100%. This is not a smart business decision to say this, but there may not be 20 shows worth of material. But, yeah. You know, people get excited about the draft, and you just want to, you know, not everybody's going to listen to every episode. So I'm psyched. I mean, I have a guest on every show. You know, it's usually some pretty big names in the industry, and I think people apparently really like the show. I mean, who have ever thought it? Crazy.
Gee, I wonder why, because there's good information there. So people, yeah, we call it Hell Week when we do five episodes, because it is hell for us. So all right, well, let's get back into this. Harris Football, at Harris Football is where you can find him on Twitter, and you can find all the podcast stuff. We're picking up on some more sleeper talk. We got a couple quick hitters we're going to hit here in a minute, but I want to finish up as we were kind of going positionally. And this one right here, covering from wide receiver, I'm calling this quote-unquote potential sleeper alert. And this is more in the sense of how Chris and I view them, not where, you know, because Scott, like you said, you view sleepers more traditionally as someone that is not being talked about, where
I just feel like
them,
there's no such thing as a sleeper anymore, because everybody knows about everybody pretty much.
No, and you're right. That's the bigger problem with this, especially us in the industry. It's hard for us to define sleepers anymore because we hear them night and day. But okay, so not in the traditional sense. When we release our ranks next week, I had one guy jump pretty dramatically, and Bogman actually, we had a no draft list in our last mock draft, didn't let me draft him. And I looked at your list, and he jumped out as a player that you have about as high as I have, and it's Terrell Pryor. You have him valued over some guys like Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, and I'm not sure that's not a stretch by any means, but I think from people that just look at ranks in general might be like, wow, that seems pretty high. So that has the sleeper feel to me. So talk to me about Terrell Pryor, what you saw in tape, and how you're feeling about him this season.
He's so fast. It's just, if you like Josh Gordon, you ought to like Terrell Pryor. He really is. He doesn't look like he's going that fast. He's one of those tall, lanky dudes. And when his legs get going, you're like, well, I see Antonio Brown's legs going, and they look like they're going fast. And Terrell Pryor's sort of loping, but, man, he goes by everybody. Still raw in terms of a route runner, but actually pretty good hands. I mentioned earlier that, like, I'm giving great, you know, letter grades for speed, elusiveness, end zone hands. That's all in the almanac. And I gave him a C for hands, and I sort of look back now, and I think that was I was a hard grader. I think he probably has a little better than league average hands. But mostly it's just you're giving me the combination of the big play guy, the DeSean Jackson role, where he gets to get down the field, plus the role that I think for about 5 minutes they tried to give to Josh Dotson last year by giving him, I think, like 5 end zone targets in a quarter and a half or something, and he caught none of them. You know, why wouldn't Josh Dotson also get that? I can't promise you that Jamison Crowder isn't the most targeted. I can't promise you that Jordan Reed isn't the most targeted. I think the more valuable targets go to Terrell Pryor just because of what – I'm not sort of predicting workload. I'm just saying, wow, that skill set is exactly the skill set you want. And what was lacking last year was quarterback play, and I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins fan in the world, but I'd be dumb to argue that it isn't a better situation.
What about my guy Hunter Henry as far as tight ends go? I got all excited when I heard you talking about him on one of your most recent podcasts about how you went back and watched him. And you're like, wow, rookie tight ends are not supposed to be this good.
100%. 100%. I think if there's one player this summer, and I think every 230-plus whatever profiles in this Almanac thing, and I watched some film on all of them, and the one probably that stood out the most as the biggest change in my mind from where he was left in my head after having watched the games during the season last year was Hunter Henry. The 8 touchdowns in 36 catches, I mean, no, obviously, that's dumb. That's Mercedes Lewis in 2010, right? But no, like, it's the ability to catch poorly thrown balls. It's sort of, he has the ability to sort of keep speed up as he's bending to catch a low one. He made one behind the head, one-handed catch that saved Phillip Rivers from an interception. There is extreme talent here. He's big. I mean, he's 6'5", 250. He's not one of those rumbling Rob Gronkowski, you know, 10 guys are going to be hanging off me, I'm still going to score. Everything else, though, I'll just give you the film grades. Speed, A-, routes, A-, hands, A-, and then power, C-plus. Like,
do you think you'll own him more than any tight end this year?
It depends on when they're going. Obviously, like, I don't know average draft position-wise. Like, maybe the hype gets going. I think the reason the hype might not get going is Antonio Gates, and that would be the reason this is a bad rank, right?
What if I told you he wasn't a top 12 averaged tight end?
I would believe it because people are afraid of Antonio Gates. And in a lot of leagues, why assume the risk, right? You just go, tight end, blah, what does it matter? I'll take Zach Ertz, he'll be fine, you know? Hunter Henry gives you ceiling, but he also gives you floor because of Antonio Gates. But I seriously, he gives you as much ceiling as – I think he gives you much ceiling as anybody but Rob Gronkowski. I'm really excited about him.
I love it. That's a great take. I mean, Bogman, that's been your guy. And you and I both, in our tight end episode coming up next week, people will kind of hear our same thoughts. So I want to do –
So Jay Howard this year, Harris.
Yeah.
Are you coming around at all, even a little bit?
I'm not there either.
Jay Howard? So
yeah.
No. I mean, he's not ready. I don't think he's ready.
Yeah. And they got Cameron Brate. They got Cameron Brate in there, who was a massive target and a big touchdown option.
He's a wide receiver.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to some quick hitters here at some different positions. This is like a factor fluke, you know, a little stay woke or snooze, however we want to look at it. If we want to try to be hip, we say stay woke. If we just accept our age and the people that we really are, we just say factor
stay
fluke.
Stay woke.
So first one here, as far as a sleeper, and these are all guys that I've identified that are not like starters in most leagues, except for one that we'll get to. Eli Manning, he's going up as a backup / free agent in standard 12-man leagues. His Fantasy Pros consensus rank is 18, so he's not even a starter in 16-teamers. Fact or fluke that by those standards, he's going to be a sleeper this year?
He's exactly 18 for me, so I guess I'll say fluke.
I love it.
But, like, they're all sort of the same, and so I'm cool if you say Eli is. Like, if you told me he's 14, whatever, that's fine. I mean, you know, there's a lot of weapons there, but I'm somewhat put off by my entire brain, which tells me that Eli Manning is always going to screw. He's always going to look better in aggregate than he does week to week.
It's hard to have someone with a face like that, too, so I totally agree.
What about Derrick Henry, Chris? You got him ahead of guys like Bilal Powell, Frank Gore, Danny Woodhead. Why would you have him ahead of some of those guys?
Well, it's the offensive line, and I'm going to take the upside shot that the workload eventually spreads. If it doesn't, it's going to look real bad. I mean, given the workload last year, he finished 39th in a standard league, and now I have him 29th in a standard league. I feel like that's fair growth, and you know, there has to at some point be a movement towards, all right, this is either the running back of the future or not. I certainly think DeMarco Murray is the one to own, and frankly, Henry just needs to be owned by the Murray handcuff. That's who should draft him in every league. He's one of the most valuable handcuffs. But as a standalone player, I think there's probably more. There's more than whatever 490 rushing yards for him there this year.
I like that.
After
one.
Dixon, are you going to put real quick? After Dixon, are you going to put Woodhead ahead of him, ahead of Derrick Henry, or is it going to stay the same?
I have Woodhead 33, so I bumped him quite a bit. I put West ahead of him, so I have West 28, Henry 29, and Woodhead 33. Same neighborhood.
Is that standard?
Standard, yeah. Woodhead's higher than both of those guys in a PPR for sure.
Okay. How about this one? This one I think a lot of people have a really difficult time with just because, I mean, he was explosive last year, but the numbers didn't necessarily dictate like, hey, he could be a number one wide receiver. He has vaulted into that. Tyreek Hill, who I tend to like and tend to own in a lot of leagues. Fantasy Pros consensus has him as a 31st wide receiver. You have him as 20 in PPR, at least last time that I looked. Yeah, you still have him at 20 there. So factor fiction, you know, Tyreek Hill is a sleeper by those standards for you.
By those standards, I think he's great value. It's at this point, it almost seems like a fait accompli. He's going to be on my flag list for this year. Like he could be Antonio Brown. He's that explosive. You know, I'm not sure he can run routes yet because they didn't ask him to last year. Average yards at the catch, 5.0. it's like a bad running back number. So they're just giving it to him in the backfield or, you know, like little swing passes and saying go most of the time. If you're in the Jeremy Maclin role in Andy Reid's offense, you better be able to do more than that. I recognize the downside, but I'm taking a shot on the upside because he could be Antonio Brown.
All right, we got about 1 minute left, Chris. CJ Prosize, he's a guy that's been kicked around. A lot of people are dubbing him as a sleeper because they don't like Eddie Lacy because he burned him last year. Thomas Rawls is injury prone. Of course, CJ Prosize is injury prone. What about in PPR leagues? The Fantasy Pro consensus is 37. He's behind guys like Duke Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, Matt Forte, and ahead of Hunt, White, and Stewart. What do you think about Prosize for this season?
Well, he is someone whose tape I liked more than I expected to. I mean, it was limited. He was hurt, and then he was okay for a flash, and then he was hurt again. So I'm interested, but I don't think I have him quite that high in PPR. I have him like 50 in a standard. It's probably I'm excited about the talent, so maybe I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite if I say I want to draft primarily on talent because there's a pretty good combination of speed, you know, like sort of not quite elite, but pretty good long speed, and receiving is pretty good. I actually think he's kind of shifty, too. So I'll say I think there's probably going to say fluke, but I'm going to keep my ears tuned during August.
I dig it. All right. He is Chris Harris on Twitter at Harris Football. Go check out the Player Profile Almanac at harrisfootball.com. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time and talk to you soon, my man.
Thanks for having me on, you guys. It was a blast.
See ya.
RotoExperts.com. Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package.
Brand new for 2017, RotoExperts.com presents the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Roll with me through the 2017 season as I get you ready to draft and dominate all season long. It's only going to cost you $20 to win your fantasy league this year. Hell, you spend 10 times that on a Friday night and leave empty-handed. The Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package features articles, videos, and rankings that will help you be the man in your home, office, or high-stakes leagues. Plus, you get private access to the Fantasy Executive Snapchat, where you can interact with me directly. Head on over to rotoexperts.com and sign up for the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Chill with me all season long and win big in 2017 with the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package powered by rotoexperts.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Wotus, bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
It is in this league with Bogman and the Welsh talking the sleepers. What's up?
I'll never not think of the South Park episode where they go to the mountains. They go to Aspen to ski. Stan Darsh, like Darshy Darsh Darsh.
Stan Darsh.
See, he pizzaed when he's supposed to French fry. You pizza when you French fry, you're going to have a bad time.
You want to have a bad time? No. Speaking of which, that's a great transition here. Bogman and I, we're going to give maybe one of our sleepers out here. We're also going to expand the sleeper universe, actually. It's like the Marvel universe. So we're going to go into phase two, and we're going to talk about sleeper movies, sleeper TV series, and sleeper snacks. And possibly, if we have time and we get enough good interaction, we may talk about some sleeper beers. But I need to hear what other people like, because I am a piss beer drinker. I just don't drink good beer. Like, I was with someone the other day, and he's like, hey, you want to have a drink? I'll buy. And I'm like, sure, you're buying. I'm all in. And we go, and he ordered something fancy, and I'm like, I'll have a Coors Light. And he looked at me, and I was like, don't judge me. I don't drink good things. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, you drink good whiskey.
I drink great whiskey, but that's about it. So, first off, throughout the rest of the show, I mean, we do have Pizza Pia and Sammy Reed coming on next hour. But if anybody does have any questions, you can call in. This segment, we may take a call. We'll take one in the second hour, 844-84-FNTSY. If you would like, you can ask one of your questions. And we will also take a look at your tweets. If you guys are rocking out there and putting out the hashtag ITL live, that is what we're looking for. As well, FNTSY, we put out the question, who are your sleepers? Who is your sleeper? And I would love to know who they are. We'll take your questions on air, or we can talk about it online so you can reply to that. You can hit us up on the hashtag. You can call us. But Bogman, let's start with a couple actual football ones, and we'll get to the madness. Give me your sleeper this year. Give me one that you want to talk about that you feel pretty adamant about under your standards.
Kenny Britt, man. I think Kenny Britt has the potential to be the number one wide receiver in Cleveland. He was for the Rams last year. And I made this point on Target a little bit earlier this week with Jake Seeley and our boy Benny and Joe, who will be on here next hour, that everybody's talking about Corey Coleman, who is injured or still coming off of his injury. And Kenny Britt led the horrible, horrible Rams. I don't know if I saw a quarterback worse than Jared Goff. Well, Bryce Petty. Bryce Petty was worse than Jared Goff.
Or anyone but that donned a Browns uniform.
Cody Kessler, probably better than Bryce Petty. Mm. They're both not good, but, I mean, Kessler was efficient. He wasn't taking bad throws. Petty was horrible all over the place. Jared Goff was pretty, pretty damn bad. So Kenny Britt with the Browns, man, I think that he could wind up being the number one there. He had 1,000 yards for the Rams last year.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I mean, I can't hate him. How about this one? My guy. Last year, Marquise Lee from USC with the Jaguars was kind of a PPR darling. You know, he had a couple big weeks, Boggs, if you remember. And, you know, with any injuries that came up, he was very serviceable. So much so that he was better than Allen Hurns. He finished with 178 PPR points. I looked in a standard, you know, 1 point PPR Yahoo league. And that was inside, like, the top, like, 35. But here's a couple of guys he was ahead of last year, just to mark this. He was ahead of Devontae Parker, Quincy Anunua, Tavon Austin, and Brandon Marshall. And I know Brandon Marshall didn't play all the games, but Marquise Lee also played 15, only started 8. Last year, he had 105 targets, 63 catches, 851 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So I look at a guy like Marquise Lee, and I'm going to look here real quick, see if I can track it down where his average draft rank, and I have to scroll, and I'm scrolling. I see.
Well, he had 200-yard games last year, and championship week, he caught a touchdown at least.
68. That's where he is. He's one away from being nice, but 68 he finished, and he's being drafted below Allen Hurns, below Tavon Austin, below Mike Williams. That's going to change. Below Kamar Aiken and Zay Jones. I just feel like everyone is assuming that Leonard Fournette is going to be this huge force that's going to take away from the passing game, which I just don't think is going to be the case. And everyone assumes
that...
Leonard Fournette
is going to be good?
No, I absolutely do. But I'm saying everyone is assuming that that's going to take away from the passing game and that Allen Hurns is the guy to be looking at. But in a PPR league, I think Marquise Lee is the guy to be looking at because he is going later. And he could be a sneaky wide receiver 3 this year. So this is a player that I'm going to be targeting in a lot of drafts this year. A little bit of that Marquise Lee. Do you not like that one?
No, I like that one. I just think that, I don't know, people could be right. But, you know, Hearns likes to get hurt. Blake Bortles likes to not throw the ball to Allen Robinson and throw it to Marquise Lee instead. But, I mean, Marquise Lee had 105 targets last year. That's, you can do way, way worse with someone that you're picking at the very end of your draft. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that's my damn right. It's a good one. Thank you very much.
How about a deep one? You want a deep one?
Yeah, oh, give me a deep one.
Deep
one. Yeah, make
Kamar, like, the deep Kamar burn. Aiken. You mentioned him, Kamar Aiken. This is a lot of ifs and buts and candies and nuts, but Kamar Aiken, if Andrew Luck is healthy, if they have wide receiver problems like they've had before, I just think that he's better than he was in Baltimore. I don't think he got enough credit. So that's a deep one. Deeper.
How about let's expand the fantasy football universe? I want to get to some other things because when I think sleeper, it's so funny, you know, FNTSY dedicating. I think it's a great idea. Dedicate the whole week. All the shows are kind of embracing it. But when you think about sleepers, like I get into this world where like everything has to become a sleeper for me. And I'm like, what are all the sleepers? So I put some categories in. These next two segments we'll put together here. First one, sleeper movies. Now, if you have some takes, tweet us at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports, and at FNTSY Radio for your sleeper movies. I'm going to present to you three that I put together. Super producer Chris Bavona has a couple, and let's vote on them. So here are my three options, and then Chris is going to come on here, Boggs. And if you have a couple you want to throw out, that's fine. My three sleeper movie options, Shaun of the Dead, which is like one of the best. Every time it's on, I'm watching it, right?
Just get to the pub.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right. Idiocracy, one of the best movies that almost feels like we're living sometimes. And it never gets old, but they'll never play on TV anymore. You have to buy it or pay for it. I can't find it anywhere. It drives me nuts.
It's been on something recently. I don't know which one, Cinemax or one of them. It's been on one of them recently.
Fox News, CNN, one of those.
Fake news. It has been on.
I think you'll like this one. How about The Slammin' Salmon by the Super Trooper guys?
I love The Slammin' Salmon. That's the best one. That's what ifs and buts and candies and nuts come from. That's our drop.
Merry Christmas. Okay, so now, super producer Chris, get in here. Give me your three, and then we are going to all discuss, and we're going to have to try to vote on one here. So what do you got?
So my three sleeper movies are, the first one is UHF. It's with Weird Al Yankovic. It came out in the 1980s. This movie is hysterical. Also,
it was Kramer, too?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was with Kramer. It was actually his first, I think it was one of his first starring roles or one of his first acting roles. Just an hysterical movie. And you really like it. It's really for anybody. That's how I really believe it. And even today, you could still watch it and still get a few of the jokes and still laugh a little bit. My second one, this one to me is possibly the most underrated Disney film of all time. And that's Disney's The Great Mouse Detective. I got to tell you.
What the hell is that?
So it came, again, this is another 80s movie. This is another 80s movie. And basically, it's about this mouse who lives underneath the house of Sherlock Holmes. And he's the same thing. He's a detective. But it's just when you have possibly one of the greatest villains ever, not only that, one of the greatest Disney death villain scenes ever, this movie, I swear, you can watch it today as an adult and love it.
I did not expect Disney's Great Mouse Detective to show up next to Idiocracy.
I just got to peel the curtain back just a second, the Welsh. He's got Disney's Great Mouse Detective, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and BoJack Horseman. I mean, just how much pot is there? Really?
Well, that's you're ruining the TV one, Bogman. You're ruining the TV sleepers. Thank you very much.
I mean, make my joke.
Okay, well, you killed it a little bit. I would say sleeper kids movie. When I grew up, nobody knows about this movie. If anyone has ever seen this, please tell me because I've told my wife about this and we can't find it anywhere because my kid's like, hey, what movies did you watch? I watched The Brave Little Toaster. Did anybody see that when they were like five? Does anyone remember that?
John Lovitz.
Nope.
Are you kidding me? That's such a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's such a good movie. Like, everyone is obsessed with, like, All Dogs Go to Heaven and, like, Lady and the Tramp, and I'm over here watching Brave Little Toaster. It was great. All the things came alive. All right, what's your last one, Chris?
So my last movie, actually, kind of funny enough, is the 1996 movie Sleepers. Perfect for Sleeper Week, right?
Okay. Oh, how appropriate. That is appropriate. That's pretty good.
I've not seen one of these movies, by the way. I'm completely lost.
Exactly.
You haven't seen UHF?
I haven't seen No, haven't seen it.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what, one from me is, and it's been on, I think, HBO lately or one of them, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner. It's kind of funny because he will not do an English accent at all. I don't know what that was all about. I guess he just felt goofy trying to do it. But
I like when an actor commits to just being like, I'm just going to be Kevin Costner being Robin Hood instead of like, you know, trying to be
Kevin
like
Costner,
you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, like going into it.
Why would you call that a sleeper? I actually
the
think
Postman
that's...
was like that.
Oh, God, the Postman was horrible. So boring.
I like the Postman. See, I think I just like Kevin Costner.
I like Waterworld, too.
My favorite movies of all time.
I like Waterworld.
I mean, Waterworld's the worst of those, but it's still pretty decent.
It's all right. So those are okay. I think mine are pretty solid here. Like Shaun of the Dead, Idiocracy is probably the winner of all of these.
It's the best.
It's got to be.
Especially
Shaun of the
today.
Dead's in there. I'm going to give UHF. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, you can see it every day on CNN if you want. All right, we got a small segment coming up here in a couple minutes, like 4 or 5 minutes here. I want to hear from you guys if you like those movie ones as well. We are potentially going to talk sleeper TV series in the show. We're going to do sleeper snacks, and guess what? We got some snacks with us. We're going to actually live the sleeper snacks, and we're going to be doing that all maybe in the next segment, possibly in the next hour, and I'm curious about some sleeper beers.
Look
so it
around.
Is a sleeper. it's a full mouth.
We got snacks coming up.
All right, we're coming up. In this league, Bogman of the Welsh, sleeper everything. Don't go anywhere.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
I have no idea what this is, but I feel like this is like coming off the mountain of the Stand Dutch. It does feel very 80s, right?
This is when you win.
Oh, Rock Me Amadeus. That's what it's called. All right, we're talking sleeper everything. We're moving away from football. We just talked sleeper movies. And if you don't think that a sleeper song, that's very good. Pavona says sleeper song, Rock Me Amadeus. Very 80s. Okay, we're getting the theme of where super producer Chris is. Sleeper TV series. In the next segment, in the next hour, by the way, we're going to talk actual sports. We have got Joe Pizzapia from On Target and the Fantasy Black Book and author of the Fantasy Black Book. We're going to talk mainly football, maybe a little nugget of baseball in there. And then Sammy Reed from the Fantasy Insiders and the Baseball Aholics Anonymous podcast. We are going to talk baseball and a little nugget of football. Plus, we'd love to hear from you guys in the next hour. We're going to be answering your questions, your tweets that you put out there, hashtag ITL Live. Or if you want to call in, 844-84-FNTSY next hour. But we are talking. We just did sleeper movies. Idiocracy is the winner. There's no two ways about it. Also, Brave Little Toaster, I think, is the winner of the kids version.
You just declared the winner.
I declare. Mike Youngberg, our boy Mike_Youngberg, he tweeted at us. Magnificent Seven was his movie version of sleeper movie. Inside Out as the kids movie, and we're going to talk about here TV shows. He says Treme, which was what was that like the Showtime
Treme.
One with the guy from The Wire, Treme. I don't know, and the Goldbergs. Which Patton Oswalt voices, which is good. I got some sleeper TV series ones. You completely ruined super producer Chris's just to make a joke. And his were Aqua Teen Hunger Force, BoJack Horseman, and Ozark, who I'm going to start soon. Here are the ones that I put up. Futurama, because Futurama...
That's for me.
Yeah, I mean, Futurama is for you, and it's for, like, everybody. It's you know, The Simpsons was great, Family Guy did its thing, but Futurama was the smart show. I mean, Simpsons, I guess, was too. But Futurama was the smart inside poke at you show. Rick and Morty, which I got to tell you, I haven't watched, but I think I need to watch it. I put it on here because of the fandom that it holds. I would love to hear from a Rick and Morty listener, like or watcher. If somebody watches Rick and Morty, tell me why it's so good. You can tweet or call later. And then Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which has super producer Chris's vote. And I would have to that's funny. Chris says Rick and Morty is like Back to the Future on crack, which I dig. And then Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which Bogman, you do the best Charlie Day. Like, we're going to do snacks here in a minute.
Oh, I guess I'll just go get a job. They're hanging out jobbies. I'll just go get a job. There's just jobs everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good show, except my only problem with Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but this is also the plus about it, I haven't seen all the episodes. So, like, you always want to be like, hey, remember that one time?
How am I?
That's how you sound.
Remember? Like, no, I'm always like, hey, do you remember that one time in Always Sunny when Dennis was getting his tools out of the back of his car and it was all, like, you know, duct tape and zip ties and rope? And you're like, he's like, I need my tools. I got to have my tools. And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't, because I
watch the show. It's not that hard. Turn it on.
Watch the show. Here's the plus about it is you can just tune into Always Sunny and you can totally enjoy a show. Like, I've seen some of the best ones, like when they go, when whatever their names are.
Bona just says, tools. I need my tools in our chat.
It's a great show to catch in on. I just didn't watch every single one of them. Though I did go on a YouTube rabbit hole of watching bloopers from every single episode. Of this list, is it Futurama or Always Sunny for you, Boggs? I mean, also Aqua Teen is in here.
Yeah, I like Aqua Teen, but it'd definitely be third for me. Futurama, like, I could just watch Futurama on an endless loop until I die and be okay.
So, I don't know what you're saying, Bergman. I would say that as Meat Rod, I would say that Aqua Teen Hunger Force is the best show on television, boy.
That was your grandmother, meat, boy. It was a grocery bag.
Hell, Carl, I don't know what you're saying. Don't get so mad at me.
I would say Aqua Teen is right up there. by the way, you missed that. Chris did a good Carl.
Yeah,
I would say
that
this list... That's really good. We're gonna do a whole segment now. It's somewhere.
Hey, Fry Man, what are you doing here? Saying how I didn't invite you and I don't like you.
It's Aqua Teen, Futurama, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Those are sleeper TV shows for sure. All kind of comedies. Maybe it's sleeper TV comedies. Next hour, we have got Sammy Reed and Joe Pizzapia talking real stuff. But we're also going to do in the next segment sleeper snacks. Don't miss that. Also, want to hear sleeper beers. Bogman of the Welsh in this league. More coming up in the another hour.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
That's right. We are live in this league. Bogman, the Welsh in the house talking sleepers. Chris Harris was on. Chris Harris from Harris Football was on first hour. If you missed it, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you as a person? Go back and listen. You can stream it on demand over at fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio.
You're a horrible person.
What is wrong with you? You can also search In This League for this show's podcast or ITL for all the others. We talked a whole bunch of fantasy football, but we got a little crazy in the last half of the hour where we not only gave a couple of our sleepers, but... we were asking sleeper TV show. We're talking sleeper movies. We're going to do sleeper snacks here in a minute. I want to give a couple updates real quick. Our boy Crispy
Cream
on Twitter.
We're going back in a minute? I thought we were doing them now.
No, we're doing them in a minute. Go ahead and stuff your face there, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Crispy Cream.
There's sleeper
TV shows is C-Lab 2021, which is great.
That's a great one.
The State on MTV. I don't remember that. I feel like I wanted to say, is that variety show that Michael Ian Black and whoever were on? I don't know. And then Greg the Bunny, which I don't know. I got no idea.
It sounds like Leisure Suit Larry.
Okay. Pomona says I'm correct on that. The State. Yeah, it was like, I think it preceded the Kids in the Hall stuff. Yeah, like the guys did
Reno
911,
which is also another really good one. Reno 911.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, Tom Lemke on Twitter says, sleeper movie, Grandma's Boy. 100% right about that. Such a damn good one. TV is The Americans. I haven't watched The Americans yet. And beer, he put Spotted Cow. So I'm not 100% what that is. I mean, again, I'm not cultured in beer. That's my problem. Cody Trevitz says sleeper show. I think he might win this. Mystery Science Theater 3000. That's amazing.
That's
such a great one. All right. Bogman, sleeper snacks here. So I put a couple together, and we're going to test it. First one we don't either have, but I put Pringles because I feel like Pringles are underrated in the chip game. But you, in your entry in the chip game.
I love it.
I'm just saying the Pringles are they're there. Really quickly, Red Velvet Oreos. Why don't you give us a little information on them?
Well, Red Velvet Oreos are really good, but they do have an unfortunate side effect that if you just eat them and you eat a whole sleeve because you live alone and you're an animal and you have no self-control, there are side effects to them,
okay.
Which like I cannot describe on live radio.
Okay, I have got, this is mine that I picked out because I think these are great. I've got, I'm into right now, Ritz Bits, or Ritz Bites. The little cracker Ritz with cheese in them. Just listen to me eat them. How good does that sound? You know
they
what are horrible, though?
Good, so.
The horrible is when you accidentally go buy the Ritz and it's the peanut butter and you didn't get the cheese and you're like,
I like them both.
No, you don't. They're horrible. Absolutely
yeah, I do.
Not.
Yeah, no, I like them both. In fact, I think I like the peanut butter a little bit better than the cheese,
but I
like the cheese too.
That's ridiculous. Do you like pickles?
Come on. Tweet in at Bogman Sports, at Is It The Welsh, and let us know if you like the peanut butter or the cheese Ritz better.
It's the cheese. They're absolutely both solid. I want to hear your favorite snacks too. Pizza Pia's coming up in just a minute. It's Bogman The Welsh Fantasy Football Sleeper Week. It's all happening. Don't go anywhere.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Thank you. We all like Linkin Park. There's no doubt about that. Maybe that's like an underrated when we were a sleeper thing when we were like in 19 or 20. Didn't hold up, you know. I mean, God rest Chester and the Linkin Park crew, but didn't quite hold up. So we're talking sleeper everything. Joe Pizzapia is joining us from On Target Fantasy Black Book Show, which is heard right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, as well the one of the best-selling authors, Fantasy Black Book. Joe is on the line. Joe, what is happening, my friend?
What's up, bitches? How you doing?
We're talking sleeper everything. So here, a couple important questions real quick. The rapid fire.
Okay.
We're talking sleeper snacks, and we've honed it down to Ritz Bits. Ritz Bits cheese or Ritz Bits peanut butter? Ritz Bits, please.
Man, that's a tough one. I'm going to – oh, man. Processed cheese is so good, but you know what? I think the peanut butter is a little bit more filling.
Oh, you guys are –
the peanut butter. Oh, is that what Bogman said? Nice.
You guys are crazy.
Of course
you're
it nice. Is, Joe, because we're best friends.
Nah, you guys are crazy. Like, I'm gonna eat one right now. It's so good. Do you have a sleeper?
What about a sleeper movie, Joe?
Do I have a genre to pick from or just period?
Anything. I picked Idiocracy.
Anything.
You know, I've never seen Idiocracy. I really should.
What? Come on, man.
I know. I should.
Your sales of the Fantasy Black Book
is going down. I'm going to PayPal you the $5, and you got to rent it on Amazon. It's great. You have
that's
to.
Crazy.
Underrated. You know, with all the With all the comic book nonsense out there floating around everything, I'll tell you, as far as comic book, you know, I always loved The Watchmen. I thought The Watchmen was terrific.
It's a pretty good show.
Very underrated film in that genre. You know, everyone talks about, oh, it's Spider-Man this and Batman this and all that, but like under the radar, you want to talk about kind of a moody, dark, really well shot film. That's a good one, man. I like The Watchmen.
That was on the other day.
Yeah, animated genitalia. I mean, you can't have anything better.
Well, and
than
you
that
mean, I mean, I'm a Tombstone guy too, so that's one of those movies. If it's on, I mean, I think one of the great underrated movies of all time.
I agree. All right. Well, we got actual real sleeper.
If you do, Bogman.
We got real sleeper stuff to talk about, of course, which you guys can go check out. You have to know if you're listening on this station. You guys go check out the Black Book over on Amazon, the actual book version, which. Bunch of guys, Jake Seeley, our boy Sammy Reed, actually, who's coming up in the next segment, Pizapia. He was a part of
that
as well.
Love Sammy Reed. Let me tell you, I learned something from reading Sammy Reed's chapters in the Black Book this year. Let me tell you something. All right?
You know what?
Old dog learns new tricks.
I bet so. And I just want to point out, I'll bet you Sammy might have the best takes on snacks, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
you know
Sammy's
Sammy
definitely
got
some good takes on snacks.
Yep,
let me tell you
I'm very excited about that.
About that.
Yeah. All right, RPV, because that's a big part of the Fantasy Black Book that people can find. I know you've been probably killing this a lot on Target. You guys, you and Benny and Jake have been talking about it. But talk to me here, especially in the context of what we had Chris Harris from Harris Football on earlier, and we all kind of debated the term sleeper and how we treat sleepers. You know, I see it more from a value standpoint. Bogman sees it as a, you know, people aren't really talking about this player. How do you see it? And I'd love to get, from an RPV standpoint and your personal preference, a running back and wide receiver sleeper that you're looking at this year.
Well, you know, the internet killed the idea of sleepers. You know, the idea doesn't exist. When we was back in the day where you could do your own research and just peel through stats, and every home site for every league didn't just inundate you with information. And that's the problem. That's why relative position value is so useful, because it's not like anything else that's out there. So when you have it at your disposal, it's unique and you can actually use it to make these decisions. But for me, I think sleepers or undervalued players, whatever you want to think about, it comes for different reasons. For me, I'll give you, for instance, wide receiver wise, we were just talking about this last night on my show. Like, there's wide receiver ones like Pierre Garçon, whose volume's going to be there. Hoyer's a quarterback that had a great season with DeAndre Hopkins. He had a great season. Well, it wasn't a great season. He had some great moments last year with the Bears where he was relevant. And nobody cares because the 49ers are the least sexy team in the world right now. Sorry, I don't want to offend
Browns,
you. I understand.
Browns,
you know,
but yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know. Browns play defensively. but when you get to a point here where a guy like, you know, there'll be number twos and threes taken on teams that are really good. And meanwhile, a guy like Pierre Garçon is going to get left. And if you look at guys like Kenny Britt last year, who had a great season with a bad quarterback, it's very possible. You know, it's important to think about the guys like Anunua, those kind of guys out there at wide receiver who, just because they don't have the greatest quarterback situations, it doesn't mean they're not going to be playing from behind. It doesn't mean they're not still number one wide receivers on their team's depth chart in terms of target volume. And role definition is very important. And then on the other side with running back is tricky because I don't want to kind of risk running back. I'll tell you this. I think if you're talking about just early and you know, I'll call him a sleeper, but the sense of that Dalvin Cook is going a couple rounds after Mixon and Fournette, I think is stupid, because I don't think it's necessarily that far off between those guys. So if you're talking about a round or two later, that's a value. I think that collectively we're talking about Mike Gillisley and everyone saying, oh, he's a Patriot. There's no way, you know, you can't trust the Patriot running game, and you can't, but you know what? You also can't expect him to be LeGarrette Blount. And you know what happens? You just keep suppressing and suppressing and suppressing, and eventually that value is going to hit a spot where you go, well, all right, well, if no one else believes this guy, I'm going to take a shot on him because he's not going to score 18 touchdowns, but maybe he'll get 9 or 10 because that Patriot offense is a juggernaut. So there's going to be opportunities, and there's going to be goal line opportunities. So I think that's where you get the sleepers. In my mind, it's about guys that are being undervalued or where the thought process isn't in their favor, so therefore people go, eh, I don't want him, where they get kind of shied away by this group mentality out there, which is very strong in fantasy football, much stronger because most of the people who play it are much more casual than, say, the baseball fan.
I want to throw one thing in Bogman, because I know Bogman's got a good question coming up next.
He's got all the great questions. You'll never believe the questions, okay? I talked to a bunch of Boy Scouts, and I asked them all these questions last week. It was terrific, okay?
We have unloaded so many good sleeper episode of impressions, by the way, with Pavona doing Carl, Bogman with Charlie Day, my meat wad, and then now we just got a Trump. So
I don't want to hear about your meat wad, okay? I got so many other things going on right now. It's crazy, okay? I'm way too busy.
I don't want to hear about anyone's meat wads.
That's Lockerook talk, guys. All right, the one thing I want to ask you is we unleashed a couple of our sleepers in the previous hour, both wide receivers. I want to get your take on your feelings, and maybe you pick one. Bogman had Kenny Britt as a sleeper wide receiver. I had Marquise Lee. What do you think about those, and who would you pick?
You know, I'm going to go with Lee based upon what I saw last year. And I hate to always, you know, keep agreeing with Bogman here about peanut butter between Ritz crackers.
This is me. You're agreeing with me now.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you. Oh, now, oh, now we're even now. Good. Now everyone's back on track. Okay, good.
Well, now you can change your mind, actually.
I'm going to say this. I think that Kenny Britt's never been a question of talent with Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt's had a 10-set head. I mean, Kenny Britt is not the brightest bulb in the bunch. I'm sorry. I'm just going to put that out there. And finally, he got, you know, he got to a place last year where he realized, oh, crap. All right. I really got to show up here because now money's on the line. Now, here's the real question. Is now like, okay, I cashed in. I got my deal. Now I'm going to cool off again. Or is he realizing, hey, maybe, you know, it's really important that I give this a good shot here because this career is going to be over before a blink of an eye. It's not that I don't like Lee. I'm just not as gung-ho and sold on Jacksonville and this whole, you know, reformation going on here. It's a great narrative. Everybody wants to buy in. Oh, Fournette's there now and, you know, Coughlin, that new regime and all that stuff. I mean, when has Jacksonville been good? I mean, I got to go back to, like, David Garrard.
Mark Brunell.
I was going to say Brunell, and then I realized that Garrard had that one playoff run in him and stuff. But, I mean,
look. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he sure did. But I mean, I think that's the way I want to go for fantasy wise, because I think I can count on Kenny Britt, because again, Kenny Britt's going to be for sure that guy right there, and Lee's a two, so I'd rather have the one even on a crappy team.
Joe Flacco is out with elite back soreness for 3 to 6 weeks. what do you
that's
think
the best kind
about...
that's the only kind of soreness I like is elite, okay?
Do you think he's going to be good to go for week one? And, I mean, back injuries can nag, especially on a quarterback. Is that something that you're worried about for this season for him? And will it affect your rankings at all?
Well, I'm hoping that it's July. So I'm hoping that now we can, you know, kind of not worry too much about that. And that hopefully they can baby him through August and he'll be fine. As a second quarterback this year, or is that, you know, in the Superflex League as a QB to slide in and out during bye weeks kind of guy, I have high hopes for Flacco because I love the addition there of Macklin. I think that's a huge addition. I love the addition of Woodhead. I'm not sure if he can stay healthy. I'm glad Dixon's hurting away because now I get clarity. I know what West is. I know what Woodhead is. That's helpful from a fantasy owner standpoint. But overall right now, to me, Flacco is not a guy I'm scared off because of his back issue right now because of what time it is. If this were the last weekend in August, then I would get a little bit more concerned. But right now it's the last weekend in July, so you know I have
it's
hope.
It's just fake news.
Yeah. It's fake news. Yeah, it's not something
good.
You worry about.
Well, you know, I want to tell you though, in sleeper talk show hosts, especially fantasy sports talk show hosts, not only do Bogman and the Welsh qualify in there, it's Joe Pizzapia. Joe Pizzapia, one of the hardest working men in all of fantasy, who you can find on Target Monday through Friday with Jake Seeley and Benny. You can listen to him on the Fantasy Black Book on Tuesday nights, same time slot as we have. And the weekend's coming up here. Be on the lookout for that. Joe Pizzapia, you are the man, the myth, the legend. We appreciate you. You so far followed through very well with your maybe every week coming on, so we appreciate it.
Snoochie
so,
Boochie.
All right. I love you, man. All right. Sammy Reed coming up. Don't
love
go
you,
anywhere.
Joe.
Love you, baby.
RotoExpert.com. Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package.
Brand new for 2017, RotoExpert.com presents the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Roll with me through the 2017 season as I get you ready to draft and dominate all season long. It's only going to cost you $20 to win your fantasy league this year. Hell, you spend 10 times that on a Friday night and leave empty-handed. The Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package features articles, videos, and rankings that will help you be the man in your home, office, or high-stakes leagues. Plus, you get private access to to the Fantasy Executive Snapchat, where you can interact with me directly. Head on over to rotowespers.com and sign up for the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Chill with me all season long and win big in 2017 with the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package, powered by rotowexperts.com.
Welcome to In This League.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Always ready to party with In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh. Baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is, we are covering it to a ridiculous extent. Go check out the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast, the baseball podcast. We are putting out 5 to 6 different pieces of content a week. InThisLeague.com is where you can find us, and the Twitter handle is at the Welsh and Bogman Sports. But the person of the hour, the man of the hour, our boy, Sammy Reed from the Fantasy Insiders. You can also listen to him on a magnificent podcast. It is the Baseballholics Anonymous podcast. He is Sammy Reed, and on Twitter at Sammy Reed FI. Sammy, what is up, my man?
What's up, baby?
What's happening, boys? Just hanging, man. It's, football's getting into the swing, doing a bunch of MFLs, trade season's almost here. Like, this is my favorite time of the year, man.
It's the best. So earlier, like, this is sleeper week on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We had Chris Harris from Harris Football on. Pizapia was just on. He gave you great accolades and was loving on you. But we haven't just been talking about baseball and football. We're talking sleeper everything. We did sleeper movie, sleeper TV show, and sleeper snack. And just me personally knowing you, Sammy, I'm going to go out on a limb to say that you might be the person to ask on sleeper snack. So give me, like, your sleeper snack that people should be on the lookout for. I went with the Ritz Bits cheesed flavor one.
Oh, I love it. For me, you know, I got a sweet tooth. So every time I go down to 7-Eleven late night, I always pick up a pack of those Haribo Gold Bears. Those things are money. I always got some in the house, so yeah, that's the stuff.
Those are money. Yeah, Bogman, he was eating on. Have you ever finished? You finished the whole box yet, Bogman? Some Oreo red velvet.
Sleeve.
Just a sleeve.
I'm gonna have the side effect I was describing before. That's gonna happen. So.
Yeah, things are gonna turn.
I just
red
have to remember not to panic. That's all.
I'm a gummy guy. I mean, I would also say if we were talking like candy, I'm a big Sour Patch guy. Like Sour Patch is life. Like give me something gummy and sour and I'm all about it. So I feel like you obviously are a gummy guy. You some sour guy too, Sammy?
Oh, I'm all about it. I mean, I will just destroy my taste buds if you give me some of those Sour Patch stuff.
I love it. I love it. What do you got going
just
on real quick?
Burn it. Just burn it. Burn it right off the tongue.
We got, yeah, I totally agree. I'm like a psychopath. Like I'll actually like eat a lemon too. Like I love sour stuff. It's crazy. That's for another discussion.
Definite sociopath for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. What's going on over at Baseballholics Anonymous and Fantasy Insiders just real quick. And we'll talk some baseball. Anything we should all be looking out for?
Yeah. I mean the new Baseballholics is going to drop here in a day or two. We're going to be going over some trade deadline stuff. Super interesting stuff going on here in baseball. And then over at Fantasy Insiders, man, we're just raking in the cash on DFS. The baseball info solutions projections there are just too fire. So
do it. Get that money, son. Let's talk about the trade. Yeah. There's a lot going on, by the way. I don't know if people saw Dansby Swanson just got sent down. Got to wonder what they're going to do with that. Maybe it's a Ozzie Albies time. Steven Strasburg put on the DL, and I could even maybe weave this into the first question. Around the trade deadline, like Sonny Gray is the most common name, but the most interesting to me is this Verlander Darvish stuff. And we talked about this last week, and we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. We haven't spore on when we were going through it. The Dodgers seem to be in on both of these guys, Darvish and Verlander. The Astros are looming. I even wonder if the Nationals would possibly get in this game after losing Strasburg and having to bring up Eric Fetty. So give me your predictions. Do one of these guys, do both of these guys, or none of these guys get traded in Verlander and Darvish?
You know, I think Darvish goes. I think Darvish goes to the LA Dodgers, and I think a lot of people have kind of connected that, but it just makes too much sense, man. Clayton Kershaw hurt his back for the third time in 4 years. They have an awesome offense. They have guys behind Kershaw like Hill and Wood that are both injury-prone. So what you don't want to do is pull a Cleveland Indians and roll into the playoffs with one good pitcher, right? So they trade for Darvish, and let me throw something at you guys, okay? Say the Dodgers offered Julio Urias straight up. Who says no?
For Darvish?
Yeah.
I say no.
I would say no too because of that injury. There, that was a real career threatening injury. If I'm the Rangers,
that's a capsule, right?
Yeah, I think so. What I'm telling the Dodgers is I'm saying I'm going to need one of Buehler and Alvarez. I'm going to need one of Verdugo and Calhoun. I'm also going to need two other prospects. That's where I think you need to go. I like with where you're going because Urias is like a sneaky guy.
For two months, Yu Darvish. That's a good short-term rental.
Yeah, but you got to think that the Dodgers have the firepower to re-sign and just need to get him there to re-sign him. But you're probably right. That cost is probably too much, what I'm saying.
Well, and the other thing is with, when you're talking about Justin Verlander, the guy's 34 years old and he's got 2 years, 56 mil left on the deal. So he's not going to garner like a supreme prospect back, I don't think.
I would do Urias for that.
here's what I think. A real dark horse in this race, people have been talking about the Cubs. I think the Yankees make a lot of sense. They need starting pitching. They have money. And they have prospects. I don't think he's worth like a Gleyber Torres, anything like that. But you go down, like, what would you guys think of like maybe Caprellian or Justice Sheffield?
I think Caprellian is out of it just because of the Tommy John, and I think Sheffield is an option. But what I would think is they would say we're gonna have to have Chance Adams. Chance Adams is a dude that has skyrocketed up the system. They won't want to move him, but it's worth it. So I actually agree with what you're saying. I think one of those guys, like a Sheffield or an Adams, could get it done. I think Caprellian might be out of it though.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the Yanks want a guy like that. They need innings super bad. I think that makes a lot of sense. So my predictions, Verlander to the Yankees, Darvish to the Dodgers.
Oh, baby, I love it. Sammy throwing fire.
It's going to get lit, Sammy, at the trade deadline. I'm telling you guys.
Yeah, there's always somebody. Who's the one guy no one's looking at right now that you say, this guy is going to get moved and he's on nobody's radar right now at all? Because there's always that one guy, it seems.
The dark horse for me would actually probably be Miguel Cabrera.
Oh, right? Baby, talk to me about that.
There we go. If you could get some sick prospects back for him, obviously he's getting older. We're seeing his performance decline a little bit. You know, Detroit is basically saying we don't have it, and they have no farm system. That's a guy who could potentially make a big splash that nobody's talking about.
Baby, I'd love that one. You want to talk about some prospects, or you want me to?
I got it here. Lewis Brinson and Rafael Devers have come up, and I know the Welsh just had to. He wants to step all over me because he just wants to talk about Rafael Devers. That's all he wants to do all day, every day. I'm like, stop calling me and telling me about how awesome Rafael Devers is. But are these guys?
I'm sorry, you saw they both hit monster nukes today, right?
Bombs, Devers.
Yes. Are both of those dudes 12-man standard must-owns? I think Devers is for sure. What about Brinson? He came up and hit like 0.91 in his first stint. Are we buying now that he's gone down and turned it around a little bit?
I think it's certainly worth buying. I mean, he had some monster numbers in AAA once he went down. Like, he looked like one of those guys who said, listen, I need to make some adjustments. I need to figure it out. If you look at his minor league numbers, he had 10 homers, 11 steals in half a season. His OPS was higher than Devers, and obviously he's older than Devers, but he had a 986 in the minor. So he's got power, he's got speed. The thing I really like about him is that Milwaukee, as a team and organization, they love to steal bases all over the place. Brinson can run, so I think even if he struggles, he's going to help you on the speed side. And he hit like a monster bomb just like 20 minutes ago, so it looks like he might have some upside there as well.
I love it. These guys are both great. Real quick, because I want to ask you one fantasy football question. I want to ask you, actually, as far as a sleeper goes, because people got to remember, Sammy doesn't just do baseball. He does football, and you can find him on the Fantasy Black Book, like Joe had talked about, and he dropped some knowledge on there. But real quick, Eduardo Nunez, I was on a show yesterday kind of talking about that. Has his value dropped? I mean, people were scared for Devers for a minute. We've got about 3 minutes here. Just real quick, like, are you buying into Devers' new change and being a super utility guy with the Red Sox?
No, I actually think that it's going to be Nunez who's going to be the utility guy. I think that Devers has a ton of upside.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Nunez, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, Nunez, dude, I think you should wait and see what happens. But for me, I wouldn't drop him just yet because speed is so scarce. It could certainly not turn out that way, but I'd be ready to drop him if he's not starting in the next week or so.
Boggs. Okay, I'll get this one. How about football? Let's change it to football real quick for a second before we get out of here, Sammy. Since it is sleeper week, hashtag sleeper week, football. Who do you got? Who's a big sleeper? We've talked about a couple. Chris Harris kind of drops some. He doesn't like to go on to sleepers. Pisa Pia dropped a couple. Bogman and I did. As far as you're going here, you worked on the Fantasy Black Book. You got a sleeper or two that you really kind of dug into that people aren't talking about? We got about a minute.
Yeah, I've done a ton of MFL 10s, and the guy I keep ending up with super late is Sexy Rexy Burkhead. And maybe. People love my... I mean, dude, people love Gillislee. I love Gillislee, too. I think that New England spot is a catbird seat. But late in drafts, what you want to do is draft for upside, and you want cheap pieces of elite offenses. And the thing that really got me is that Bill Belichick apparently signed him on his own just because he loves Burkhead this much. I think there's a definite chance he can make some splashes some way, somehow this season, whether it's injuries, whether it's performance, something like that. But I really think he could make a splash, and he's basically free in all leagues.
I like that one. That's Sammy Reed.
That's why I stay away from all of those running backs in New England.
They're
all
scary.
Over the place.
They're all scary. Rex
James White, yeah, they all scare the crap out of me.
Sammy Reed on Twitter at Sammy Reed FI. Hey, Sammy, real quick, we were talking sleeper TV shows. Only a couple seconds here. You got a TV show that's late at night after you get those snacks, if you go get those bears. What are you watching?
Oh, dude, I have the worst taste in TV shows. I'm all chalk. I'm sports, I'm Game of Thrones, I'm sports and I'm Game of Thrones and I'm The Walking Dead, and that's basically it. So
no Aqua Teen Hunger Force, no, none of that?
No, this is lukewarm take time for me.
All right, I love it. Make sure you guys go check him out on the Fantasy Insiders. Check him out on the Fantasy Insiders, and make sure you go check out him and Doug Thorburn's podcast, The Baseball Holics Anonymous. You're not going to want to miss it. Sammy, thank you so much for giving us a segment. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Of course, boys. Talk to you later.
All right, coming up, we got more from you guys. Don't go anywhere.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Hi, I'm Steven Matz of the New York Mets, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't ever remember being as excited as the Red Hot Rage, that promo that we just heard. My God, that was the most excited. I've never been that excited. And I actually
a lot of money.
I've never accomplished anything, so I guess that would make sense. Why that's the case?
Do you think you've been that excited to meet some of these young men doing their first professional baseball ever in the Arizona Fall League? You hit that up.
Way to drag that out. I was about to say, where are you going with this, Bogman? No, never been that excited.
Had to put the brakes on it a little bit. So
I was pretty excited when I met Correa, and I was a little nervous but still excited when I met Kershaw. Fun fact, they're both on the DL. So there's something to that. We've been talking about sleepers all day, all today and all week on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hashtag sleeper week. But we've got our own hashtag ITL Live. We are going to answer some questions. I'll throw it out one more time just in case we do get any good calls. Just only this segment, it'd have to be here. 844-84-FNTSY. If somebody had a fantasy football sleeper question or a statement, I suppose we could take that. But we have got some of your guys's, because I have told you if you would like to just hit us up on Twitter and use the hashtag ITL, we will answer some questions. First one, Chris Branthuber at crazy_dog1. He listed some sleepers of his. Quarterbacks, he had Andy Dalton and Tyrod Taylor. I agree with Taylor. I think Bogman does too. Running back, he went Jay Williams, but unfortunately, there's a couple. So
Joe or Jamal.
Yeah, it's either one of those. Jacquizz Rodgers, that is actually one of mine as well. John Ross, Tyler Lockett at wide receiver and tight end. This is speaking to Bogman's heart. David Njoku and O.J. Howard.
Yeah, I like those. Those are all pretty solid takes. You know, and if it's Joe Williams or Jamal Williams, both have been linked to being big sleepers. So I think those are some good takes, man. We're going to talk about Andy Dalton and the quarterback ranks a little bit. So, yeah. Those are good takes.
All right. Cody Trevitz also said his sleeper pick is Theo Riddick. He always finds his way into the top 25. Mm-hmm. Hard to disagree with that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't add anybody. Amir Abdullah's still there. He likes to miss the entire season a lot. So Theo Riddick is still going to show up.
We also had a couple other takes. Let's see. Scott Guthrie said, this is his sleeper snack. Put a Hershey's piece in the peanut butter ones. So wait, what?
The peanut butter Ritz, dude. The peanut butter Ritz with the Hershey's piece.
Oh, like you're making like a Ritz s'more type of thing?
It's like a white trash s'more.
That's weird. I'm all about
white trash stuff.
You definitely are. I mean, you're eating like red velvet Oreos for sure. I gave you a life hack earlier to say that what you do if you want to get that peanut butter and cheese, you know, if you can't decide between them, you get them both and you eat one Ritz, the Ritz bits cheese with the peanut butter together. You do that.
See, that's just too much. They're too different. Peanut butter and cheese don't go together. The Welsh, it's not a thing.
I mean, I'm not saying they. Yeah, they kind of go together. I mean, nothing really goes together. It's the same concept as the people that
they go
have
together
like
a lamb and a tuna fish.
Well, it's like the people that do the French fries and the ice cream.
Yeah, I'm not the frosty and the French fries. No, I'm not about that either. I'm not about that life, man. Not mine.
The last one, by the way, just to mention of any of the takes, our boy Robert Russell, who we forced to watch this, said Clerks was a sleeper movie one. So that's one you should be rocking. Super
Young Berg
says,
sent me a picture of his Woodford Reserve and his Ritz Bits cheese crackers.
I mean, me and Youngberg, we live that life. Super producer Chris said spaghetti and meatballs. Is that a sleeper? That's not a snack. What the hell is that? Are you having spaghetti and meatballs as a snack?
That was for Scott.
No, they go together like
lamb and tuna
fish. Go together like spaghetti and meatballs.
Well, we're talking snacks, and I see spaghetti and meatball, and I'm like, Jesus, what?
Cheese and peanut butter.
Okay. I'm like, what, like, is that the snack? I mean, I could see that. You know, if you're really hungry, it's late at night, you're hanging with Sammy Reed, you need some spaghetti and meatballs or something like that.
Chris, can you lay down the law here? Cheese and peanut butter, do they go together? Can they?
Ugh, no.
Processed cheese.
I can't.
No. Because you're a human being. Thank you very much. Ritz Bits cheese or Ritz Bits peanut butter,
Pavona?
I love peanut butter, but I gotta go with Ritz Bits cheese.
Okay, good man.
So we're tied here.
Yeah, we're good. We're good with it. Still take your takes here. If you got any of your sleeper TV shows, your sleeper movies, sleeper snacks. We only got really one beer, though our boy Youngberg made an ITL beer. I don't know if people know about that. Mm. There's a couple different brews. That is definitely an underrated. He made a Bogman brew and a Welsh brew, and the Welsh finished better than the Bogman brew in a beer contest. So me again, big winner.
A bunch of the Welshes were drinking it. A bunch of people with unrefined palates.
Sorry, we don't have that white trash palate like you do, my friend. hashtag ITL Live.
That's the guy eating the cheese Ritzes. Come on.
Okay, well, red velvet Oreos. Hashtag ITL Live. Couple questions. Our boy B-Dub at BrandX8080. He wants to know, who's your top three picks in a rookie draft? I'm assuming you're talking Keeper Dynasty and it's fantasy football. I mean, Boggs, this is easily what? Fournette, Cook, and Mixon. In some order of that?
I don't know if it's easy that, because McCaffrey, I feel like, has got to be in there, and Corey Davis is in there.
Oh, I forgot
too.
McCaffrey. You're right about that.
You know, Mike Williams can kind of go out of that with the questionable back injury. If he plays this year, I would probably put him up there. But I guess for a dynasty, I would say Fournette, Corey Davis, and one of them. Yeah, I would say Cook.
So run it by me again.
Fournette, Corey Davis, and Dalvin Cook.
I don't know, man. I feel like I've soured. I think it's really tough, especially if you're thinking about this year at all, to take Cook over Mixon and McCaffrey, who this season are going ahead of Dalvin Cook.
Well, if we're going dynasty, though, I don't think Murray lasts much longer in that backfield. I think that's going to be all about Dalvin Cook by the end of the year. So long term, I'm going to take Dalvin Cook. And they run the ball a lot in Minnesota. So
yeah, okay. This question says, what's your take on 3-4 quarterbacks in a 16-team league to force a trade or two over the 4/5 running back? Or I don't know what the hell this is asking. This is a psychotic question. What does this mean?
I think it's you know, that strategy of taking a whole bunch of quarterbacks, so someone has to trade you for a quarterback.
I hate that. We had that happen in one of our ITL leagues where they did that, and no one did the trade.
Yeah. I mean, you can always get stuck, man. It's almost like an auction when you're bidding people up, and then you get stuck with all those quarterbacks.
Yeah, now I understand the question.
It can work in reverse.
Yeah, the question was...
I don't like that move.
The question was phrased like a psychopath, because it was like, I didn't understand it, but what he's saying is...
Who's that psychopath?
It's Youngberg. He tweeted us. He's asking, would you take 3-4 quarterbacks and try to trade him to one of the teams that took 4 or 5 running backs or 5 or 6 receivers? So now I understand.
He's got too much of that Woodford and Cheez-Its in him.
It's pretty solid, though. I mean, that's what's going to get you. That's what's going to get you. Let's see here. Oh, by the way, we've also got, did we do this? The sleeper movies, Lone Star, She's So Lovely, and People versus Larry Flint. I got no idea the first two, but People versus Larry Flint for sure.
Very good. I like when they say the pervert is back. That's one of my favorite moments in a movie. Just this nice secretary just has to get on the intercom and say, the pervert is back? The pervert is back? And she has no idea why she's saying it. It's so funny.
I feel like we could do like an ITL remake and you could just play Larry Flint.
You could probably do it, right.
All right. A couple more sleepers here. Let's talk about. Bogman, you've got a couple more listed. One of the Branthuver, who tweeted us earlier, had listed one of mine. I've got two running backs as sleepers that I'm looking at this year. I can't get over Jacquizz Rodgers because he's going to step into having the starting role just right off the bat. Plus, I mean, I'm not so sure Doug Martin, A, takes the job, or B, dethrones him from being a PPR option. Last year, he had 129 carries, 560 yards, a couple touchdowns, and 13 catches. So this year, I think he's one of those prime starters, especially... Someone asked us last week, like, who are some guys that you would look for if you're drafting Ezekiel Elliott and you're maybe, you know, you're a tiny bit worried or, you know, you're freaked out a little bit because we still haven't gotten news. Jacquizz Rodgers is one of those guys, and I fell into the trap of Duke Johnson again. I'm back on the Duke Johnson train. The Browns are talking about him playing the slot role as a receiver, so he's probably going to move into being like a Tyreek Hill, Tavon Austin type of player who's going to catch a lot of balls. So I feel like I'm kind of trapped back into that. And both of those guys' ADPs are pretty far down there. Like, let me take a look real quick, Bogman.
I'll say about Jacquizz Rodgers, his schedule, the first three games while Doug Martin is gone are actually kind of okay. He's got the Redskins, the Dolphins, and the Bears. But after that, let's say he keeps a job, it gets tough, man. He's got the Vikings, Giants, Pats, Cardinals, Bills, Panthers. Those next six are rough games for a running back. So I like Jacquizz Rodgers too, but it might just be where no running back is kind of valuable, especially if they're splitting carries after the first three games.
But with Jacquizz Rodgers in a PPR format, like that's where I'm getting at is like I think he still can catch 6 to 7 balls even if Doug Martin is there, and Doug Martin becomes the pounder. There's inefficiency.
Well, Charles Sims has to go.
Yeah, Charles Sims
has to go for that.
I think he's getting cut. Gone.
You just say Charles Sims can die?
No, I said he can get cut. I'm not a horrible monster.
Oh, he can get cut. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a horrible monster. So I'm in on those guys here. So a minute here. What do you think? Like, who do you have? There was one guy that we didn't get to talk to Chris about and that you're very high on, a running back on a certain team with a certain running back that rhymes with Schmeichel Schmelliot.
Well, Lance Dunbar is on the, you know, going from the Cowboys to the Rams now. I feel like could produce. He's going off a running back 92. If you're in a PPR league, he can catch the ball. And, you know, he's coming off the injury. He's in a really bad offense, but they could check down a whole lot. So taking him as a flyer in a deeper league, like, I don't know if I'd do it in a standard 12 because I think there's, enough backs there to take even with the thinness of running backs. But if you're in a deeper league, I don't mind picking up Lance Dunbar at all, especially in a PPR format.
Yeah, 16-man or something like that. All right, well, we have got one more segment coming up. It's a little shorty here. Any last takes? You got to get all the hot takes that you possibly have in the world. Tweet at us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Hashtag ITL Live. Tell us what's going on, what you want to hear next week. Top sleeper TV shows, movies, home snacks. I'm going to eat some more snacks. The Rich Bits cheese are really good. So Bogman the Welsh.
I just wish they were peanut butter.
No, I don't. It'd be gross. All right, we'll be back. Last segment coming up. Don't go anywhere.
In this league.
Give me your sleeper this year. Give me one that you want to talk about that you feel pretty adamant about under your standards.
Kenny Britt, man. I think Kenny Britt has the potential to be the number one wide receiver in Cleveland. He was for the Rams last year. Everybody's talking about Corey Coleman, who is injured. Kenny Britt with the Browns, man. I think that he could wind up being the number one there. He had 1,000 yards for the Rams last year.
Wednesdays from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Tense. I wanted to be like, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are now entering D-Generation in this league. Badass, Boggy Gun, the Road Dog, Jesse Welshy Welsh, something like that. I don't remember.
Suck it.
That's all we had to do. Suck it. All right, Bogman of the Welsh, final segment. It's been a great show. Chris Harris from Harris Football in the first hour. We had, it was Huey Lewis. That was the song. We had Chris Harris from the Harris Football in the first hour. Joe Pizzapia. Sammy Reed, Pack Show, lots of information. You missed any of it, go listen on demand. Plus, you missed a lot in the sleeper movies, sleeper TV shows, sleeper snacks. Some whiskeys popped up there. We had some bourbons out there. It's all madness here. We got one more question I want to make sure we cover, and then I got to ask Bogman a deep sleeper. Tom Lemke, half point PPR. Keep Gurley for a second, Devontae Adams for a 10th, or Spencer Ware for a 17th. Plus, he has the second overall pick.
I would say keep Spencer Ware for that 17 and make sure that you pick up Hunt at some point in your draft. So no matter what happens in Kansas City, you have the starting back.
Yeah, you could get – and here's the other plus, that I agree with that, that you could get Gurley back with the second if lots of running backs were kept. By you saying this, I feel like you only guys want to keep one. Yeah, we just talked about with the rookie stuff, all the rookies should be available, so that would leave you with one of Fournette, Corey Davis, with a Joe Mixon. So, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, just depending what the receivers look like. Yeah, for sure. So that's not a bad one. Bogman, you had a deep, deep sleeper for us. End out sleeper week with in this league with your deep sleeper.
I'm writing in my journal, the Welsh, about Donnell Pumphrey, the all-time leader in rushing yards in college football history. He's in Philly. The problem is in Philly is they got a lot of guys like him, and Wendell Smallwood is being talked up a bunch right now. But I feel like Wendell Smallwood was being talked up a bunch at this point last season too. So we had that. We've got Ryan Matthews hasn't been cut yet. LeGarrette Blount is there, but I don't know. LeGarrette Blount was successful because he was in New England last year. He wasn't very good in Pittsburgh. He's just not a very good back. He's a big, hulking, bulking back. Not very great runner. Darren Sproles is a receiving back. I don't know, man. Like, Donnell Pumphrey has just lived his whole life on people underestimating him. And he goes out and he leads he leads college football in rushing. I don't know, man. I think maybe we're sleeping on him, too. And that's kind of my definition of sleeper, like we talked about before, is somebody that absolutely no one is talking about. And I haven't heard anything about Donnell Pumphrey up until this point. So I think he's going to be my deep, deep, dark, secret, super sleeper of this season.
Super secret. You'll take it to your grave. Super producer Chris,
super
really
stereo,
quick.
You guys.
We got to rate the show on the bog scale. 5 bogs being the absolute worst, because that would be a nightmare.
Best.
1 being the best. How would you rate this show today?
Easily. This, talking about sleeper movies, sleeper snacks, I'm starving. That, to me, is a number one. That is a one. That is one bog. It was a fantastic show tonight.
Okay, good man. Super
five
producer
bogs.
Chris. So no, it's definitely one. That's
is it one incorrect. Or five? I have no idea.
It's one.
Okay.
You got to ask yourself, who would want five Bogmans with them? That's a horrible thing. You want only one. So one is the absolute best, and you were 100% right.
So number one, yeah. I want. So don't worry
about that. If there were five of me at your party, you'd have a great time.
You'd have no food. You have no food, absolutely. You'd have all the Oreo.
Well, that's true.
Red Velvet Oreos would be
yeah, all your Ritz Bits cheese crackers would be gone if you had the Welsh there.
That is absolutely very true. All right, there you go. That is the show. If you guys are into all the fantasy sports and you need more of In This League, well, we've always got you hooked up. We have got five straight fantasy football podcasts coming out next week. It's the Fantasy Football Podcast, the ITL version. We're talking all ranks, mock drafts. A little Huey Lewis there. We've got the baseball podcast where we're doing it a day late so we can have some trade reactions to the MLB trade deadline kind of like a couple hours right after. So get your fix. For Bogman, I am the Welsh. Go to InThisLeague.com. Love you. Long time. Bye-bye.